Welcome back to Legal Face-Off here on WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com. Rich and Tina are here. My name is Sam, and joining us in the studio, she's a partner at Ford Harrison, Kimberly Ross, very familiar with the issue on obesity. There's a lot of letters, though, Ms. Ross, so you have to... The ADA, there's a lot of letters going on here. What exactly have you done, and what was the piece that you just penned?
I drafted an amicus brief in support of the position of the Chicago Transit Authority in the case of Richardson versus the Chicago Transit Authority. On the issue of ADA and where the alphabet soup continues is that it also related to interpretations of the amendments to the ADA from 2008, which are known as the ADAAA. Here to just say the amendments to the ADA.
And you wrote it on behalf of the IADTC.
Correct. The Illinois Association of Defense Trial Counsel, which is easier to say as IDC.
Got it.
So, Kimberly, earlier the Seventh Circuit issued its ruling in the case that you just mentioned, Richardson versus Chicago Transit Authority, where the court agreed with prior decisions in several other circuits and upheld the dismissal of the case, which had been brought based on the premise that obesity is an impairment under the. So in the case, the Seventh Circuit found that obesity does not constitute an impairment under the ADA unless there's evidence of an underlying physiological cause. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit more about this case and what the plaintiff was trying to prove, how the court ended up reaching its decision?
Sure. There were essentially two issues in the case. The first was whether obesity in and of itself, in the absence of an underlying physiological cause, would be an ADA impairment. No need for any medical information, but simply based on two physical characteristics of height and weight to somehow define a condition of obesity, whether those two things medically deem a person to have an ADA impairment. The second aspect of it was whether this particular plaintiff was regarded as disabled. In other words, did his employer have a disability? And the court issued its rulings on both of those arguments.
So just give our listeners a little context, because this was the plaintiff in this case was a driver for the CTA named Mark Richardson, and he was sent for a safety assessment after lengthy medical leave. And he was required to undergo the assessment because he weighed over 400 pounds. The driver's seat were designed to only hold 400 pounds. And during this assessment, he was unable to do many of the activities involved in the mission. And he therefore, as you mentioned, argued that under the ADA, his obesity should qualify as an impairment without having to show the underlying physiological cause. So why did the group that you work with, the IADTC, get involved? Trying to explain in your brief.
My involvement came in order to draft the employer's perspective on this case. So of course, we weren't involved in the specific issues that the CTA was involved in but being an amicus drafter, we were able to make additional arguments that we felt the court should hear. So I drafted it from the perspective of an employer and the common sense result that a would have on the average employer should obesity be deemed to be an ADA impairment with nothing further.
And that common sense conclusion included the fact that if he won, you would have to consider about 40% of the American adult population who are obese, according to the definition of obesity, and therefore they would have ADA impairment protection.
Correct. It would severely over employers to automatically, immediately have employees be considered, have 40% of the workforce be considered to have an ADA impairment, which then sets in motion what's called the process that employers have to go through when they have employees with ADA impairments or potentially with ADA impairments to determine whether there are any reasonable accommodations that could be given that would allow the employee to perform the essential functions of the difficulty here would be that it would be this that obesity as defined that in a way that employers can use is based on nothing more than two physical characteristics, height and weight, which would then make employers have its employees make judgments as to how much the employee weighs and how tall they are, and then assume that if they are obese, meaning that they have a BMI of 30 or more, be needing some sort of accommodation to perform their job. What's important to remember that is that in the facts of this Richardson case, he wasn't asking for any accommodations to perform the functions of his job. It was that as a 600-pound bus driver, there were certain physical maneuvers that he was required to be able to perform in order to do his job safely, and he wasn't able to do those because actual size, not because of his inability to, say, move his arms or move his legs. He didn't ask for any accommodations. He said he didn't need any accommodations, and he could perform of his job. But what the average employee would be asking for could potentially be accommodations based on nothing more than somebody's physical size, like two seats on an airplane or a company car versus reinforced furniture, like a stronger chair, something of that nature.
So let's talk for a minute about obesity. It is considered a disease. Distinction here between an impairment under the ADA versus a disease. Can you explain for our listeners what the interplay is there and what the distinction is?
Well, I think that there's actually, it's not entirely is a disease, or at least in terms of one that automatically means that somebody has an impairment. Not like cancer can be defined or Parkinson's disease can be defined from a medical perspective. Really no medically accepted across-the-board definition of obesity. And as evidenced by the terminology that the plaintiff himself used in his appellate brief, he referred to his condition from obese to extremely obese to severely obese to morbidly obese because there really is no perfect definition of it. What's important to take away here is that this ruling did not say that individuals will have no protection under the ADA. All this ruling says is that an obese individual is not automatically deemed to have an ADA impairment. If the person's obesity causes the issues such as high blood pressure or arthritis or joint pain, those conditions may be ADA impairments that need to be go through the interactive process to determine whether they need to be accommodated.
Or if the obesity is caused by another condition.
Certainly. If the obesity is caused by an underlying physiological condition, then in and of itself it is an ADA impairment, which would then have to go through the process with the if there's an accommodation that can be given.
So the burden, of course, in that case is on the plaintiff to show why or the source of their obesity, right? That it was a physiological condition. I mean, that seems to be getting a little into their private lives, right?
If the plaintiff wants to take position that the obesity should be accommodated in by itself, then yes, they're going to have to provide medical evidence that it was caused by an underlying physiological condition. But what's interesting is that the majority of obesity is not physiological conditions. And in fact, when you turn to the second aspect of the ruling, which had to do with whether this particular plaintiff was regarded as or perceived as disabled, you get into the issue, what the underlying cause of this employee's disability was. And what the court said in a nice statement was that in order for the plaintiff to prove that the employer regarded him as being disabled, he would have to prove that the employer perceived that his obesity was underlying physiological condition or disorder, not just that the employee had an impairment, a physical impairment. And therefore, the plaintiff would have to show first that the employer even considered the cause of the employee's obesity, which most employers probably wouldn't. And second, that proving that the employer thought that it was because of some rare underlying medical condition, like perhaps a brain tumor, or versus the more commonly known cause of obesity, which has to do with diet and a lack of exercise, it's a pretty stiff burden for a plaintiff to now prove that he was regarded as disabled under this. And the way this Seventh Circuit court stated it was nice and concise, where it had been a little bit more wishy-washy in other prior decisions.
That is Kimberly Ross, a partner at Ford Harrison. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.